Welcome to the podcast of Grace Covenant Church, where we are transformed by God's grace, connected through relationships, and committed to service.
Thank you, guys. It's so fun. It's a joy to worship with you guys. Hey, let me give you a couple of quick kind of updates and announcements. We're about anywhere from 200 to 300 people short last week than this week for, you know, obvious reasons, vacation and otherwise. And so I want to tell you some things that if you were here last week, it'll be a review, but not much. And then we'll go on to explain what the purpose of the church is. But first, a couple of announcements. One is that just let you know that, you know, we asked that you guys would give first to Grace in the end of the year giving because we were pretty desperate in our financial needs to establish our operating budget to be more standardized and bulky, and that happened. We had the second largest giving in the history of our church, and that largest giving was a freakish year because businesses were sold and that sort of thing. But this December was unbelievable. And I wanted to thank you guys for being that generous with us. What that means is that we can carry on with the futures that we had in mind, especially when it comes to hiring a couple of staff or director positions, and then there's more support staff decisions that we have to make as well. And then that generosity on your part is giving us so much peace. The leadership was praying on Tuesday morning, just in overwhelming gratitude for so many of you that gave. And so I'm going to tell you more about the future of what we're going to be doing in the next year especially, but it can happen because of you guys. I want us to be praying for these new staff positions, that the right person and or people would be coming and be coming soon. We'll pray for that in just a minute. The second announcement I want you to let you know is an update on the Faith Comes Through Hearing work. Last year we raised over $110,000 or something to translate two different kinds of translations into a hidden people group in China. And because it's a life-threatening circumstance over there, we couldn't find a team of people to do that for us. And Faith Come Through Hearing gave us an update in late November and said that they probably have a team that will do this quarter. So let's, in addition to praying for staff, let's also pray for that team to be able to do that and pray for their protection, okay? I just want to give you an update on that as well, that we will be able to maybe by the end of this year distribute this translation to 12 to 14 million people that have never heard the power of the gospel. Good things, huh? All right, well, let's pray for that. Dear gracious Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the generosity of the people that call Grace their home. And we are grateful for their response in these two ways. One is to provide us with some more pastors and support staff. And Lord, we're asking that you would call the right person and people to Grace Covenant Church, that they would be well suited for their job, that they would love to work here and just be able to get here soon and hit the ground running in the various jobs descriptions that they have. So provide that for us, Lord. You know the future and can arrange and speak to people's hearts in that way. And Lord, we're grateful that this organization, Faith Comes Through Hearing, has found a team of people that could speak truth into a microphone, and it would someday go into the ears of these many people that don't know you. And Lord, we're asking that you provide for them a safe place, that you would cause the police to just overlook them, that they wouldn't even know that this is happening right underneath their nose. Lord, we're asking that you'd bless these families for their courage. And we'd ask that you would help multiply the time of the people that are working on this project, that it would be turned over as quickly as possible, that more people would hear sooner about the greatness of your power and the humility of your salvation that you provide through Christ alone. So we lift up these prayers to you that you would answer them, and we are confident that you will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, let me explain today a little bit about what we're going to be doing. It's almost like a chalkboard talk, and if you understand that in a sports context, where I'm going to try to be explaining, you know, what the purpose of the church is and what particularly the purpose of this church is, how we're applying that purpose of the local church as it's being expressed in the Bible, and how we do that. This is an especially exciting kind of Sunday for me because I'm looking forward to 2012 like I haven't in many, many years. I think 2012 could be maybe the greatest year at Grace Covenant Church. I say that, and if you know me, you know I don't use those sorts of phrases. I don't exaggerate, with the exception of humor in most cases, but I'm not the sort of person that says this every year and says this because I'm supposed to or you want to hear it or we can reach the world from this lobby. But I do seriously believe that this 2012 has the potential of really unlocking a lot of things that we've been working on for many, many years, and we are at a sweet spot that we might see the Spirit of God just kind of come unchained around here. I'll tell you about that as we go, but that's the bigger picture of what we do, what we're going to do today. So just kind of hang in there, and I'll try to move along before you get too kind of bored with that. Speaking of which, you know, when we looked at the church, we looked at some people look at the church and life, by the way, as just a cruise ship, that they're committed to being served. For people taking care of them, and when they go to the church, they say, hey, what can you do for me? What can you do to help my kids? And usually, you know, the people are not very happy with the way things are because it's always just a matter of time before something happens that doesn't please them. They'll say things like, I'm bored. And that aspect towards the church is often the way they look at life as well. And it's unfortunate because that's not the way life is, and that's not the way the local church is either. The life and the church is more like a battleship, that there is a war going on, and we are best served when we're serving. And when people come into the church, if they have an attitude and a value system that says, hey, will you train me? Will you keep me alive out there? Will you help me to do a better job in the plans that God has in my life? That's the way the church is supposed to work. And that's the way we try to do things around here, is not just to do that, but also change people's mindset about the purpose and meaning of life and God's bride, the local church. Your outlook in life is so much a part of your life itself. Howard Hendricks, I have one of my more enjoyable quotes from him. He says that when your memories are more exciting than your ambitions, you're beginning to die. When your memories are becoming more exciting than your future dreams, you are beginning to die. Randy Pope is a pastor that I enjoy listening to, and he says that as much as I fear failure, I fear the absence of risk in a faith commitment even more. I'll say that again. As much as I fear failure, I fear the absence of risk and a faith-committed relationship with God. You see how both those quotes are talking about life as a battleship, as a thing to be worked, not to be played with. And see, if you look at the history of the church, it is a place from its very inception, is a place where people gather together to be refueled and replenished and retrained, to be put back together again, to be sent out again. And that was their purpose. They connected with each other because they were both in combat together. It was a place to be made well again, or to be instructed again to go out again. And when people come to church just for comfort and pleasure, just like life. If life is all about comfort and pleasure, you're going to find out it can never make you happy. Too much comfort will never make you stronger. It can't. Too much rest can't make you more than yourself. It just makes you less than yourself. Because we were made to be warriors. Life is not a resort. It is a gymnasium. It is not a place like a spa where you just kind of absolutely relax. It's more of a treadmill where you learn to run. When you think about it, just think of the things that we love. You know, like you can't without suffering, without an uphill climb. You can't get great stories or great poetry or great music, right? I mean, even the music we enjoy, it's usually the stuff that's very good is a product of some kind of hardship. I mean, there's 2 weeks in July where people love to be parrot heads and they can listen to Jimmy Buffett and all those songs are written about being on the beach and having a drink in your hand. But listen, I mean, it's even ironic and it's truth-telling that even Margaritaville cannot be endured by Jimmy Buffett because he's had too many margaritas. And now he can't. No, he cannot drink another margarita. But that deaf guy that used to put his head on the piano when he would write music and tears of sorrow would stream down the side of his face and he would write these notes down. That guy, in his suffering and his hardship, could write music. And it's like you never grow tired of Beethoven, right? It transcends time. It's always a classic because it's forged. It's forged like our lives are supposed to be. So the church is for battle. It's made that way. And that's kind of the first point that we looked at last week, if you weren't here, that this is what we do at Grace because this is what we're supposed to do. These are offices. He gave some to be prophets or apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers to do what? For the equipping or the preparation of the saints for the work of service. Look what it says. The saints for the work of service. Not lawn chairs, you know, not daiquiris, but for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And so it says in this manual, in this book called Ephesians, it's saying that these positions of office are to train the lay people, that's you, to do the ministry. And so it's quite common here at Grace Covenant Church for us to say, I'm just the pastor, but you're the minister. We say it a lot because we want people to understand that the ministry is not in here, for the most part it is, but it is out there. And so we will say it over and over again. We'll say, I'm just the pastor, but you're the minister. But we say it louder most of the time. Notably louder, we'll say, I'm just the pastor, but you're the minister. That's exactly right, because we want you to see that's the way God made it. It was always the way it was meant to go out. This is a relatively unique church. It's not typical in that our ambitions, you know, in our planning, in the future dreaming of our church, it's not to get our ministries here as big as possible and for you to bring all your friends to the ministries here and to think that could cause a revival across the city or America. Well, that's an ambition for some churches. That's not ours. If you look at church history, you'll see over and over again that revivals are led by ministers, not by pastors. They're led by lay people, not by evangelists. And what happens is that people like you, not the player coaches, but the players start realizing that the people on their blocks and the people in their workplace are all provided by God an opportunity to do these ministries, and then it catches fire in business communities, in locker rooms, and in neighborhoods. It's not the pastors. And when churches are pastor-centered, they can only go so far. They have to be lay-centered. And the ministry is outside of these walls, not so much inside of these walls. And so that's what we do here. We practice that all the time at Grace. Just about every week, we try to keep it very simple, elemental, the basics if we can. Because if we can just help people understand week in and week out, all you have to do to be a minister on its fundamental level is just to be a greeter. It's to be a happy face for people that need that. And if you can do it here, here's the point. We do it here because we practice here because the real stuff is outside, right? We practice in our own gym and then we go and play at away games. And so we practice being greeters here. We're looking for people that need to negotiate our campus so that you can do this at home. And not only just be greeters, but we're wanting people to be pastors as well, to be ministers in the context of where God has placed them. And so look, it's like, I think you probably, if you might have stumbled across this, do you know the look of people that are coming to our campus that are new? I mean, they have a look of where is the right building, where do, you know, they have kids in tow, and where do these little ones go, and which buildings and when, and when do I meet, and is there a Sunday school, that sort of thing, right? Or sometimes the new person is a little intimidated about coming to church. They might have a bad experience in their background. They're keeping their head down and no eye contact and all that. That's the look. And this is, you're supposed to learn to recognize the look here on Sunday, because that look happens on your street. You know, if you have, you know, those centralized mailboxes and you see your neighbor walking down day after day, and then one day you just see their countenance, their walk, their facial expressions are different, that's the look. And then you say, "This, I'm the greeter, I'm the pastor." And suddenly you might want to go check your mail for some reason, because something might have come since the last half hour. And you could go meet that person in the middle and do what you do here. You could greet them and say, "Hey, we're not trying to make extroverts out of everyone. Don't, that's not it. We're trying to make ministers out of everyone." And so whether you're looking down a row of lockers in a dressing room, or a row of cubicles at work, or a row of houses in your neighborhood, we want you to have this mindset that is the church and its purpose. And when you come to Grace, is to be trained to do the ministry that God has called you to. That's what we do here at Grace. We do it all the time as a practice for out there when we're not at home. Okay, when we're doing away games. And so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do it again this week. We'll just practice again for you to be looking down your row or across an aisle or two rows back behind you. And I want you to be a greeter, and I want you to be a pastor right now. You ready? We can do that practice for this week. Let's all stand up and greet one another. Okay. Okay, then. All right. Let's break it up a little bit. You guys are good. Okay. Well, I hope you understand that. I've said it multiple times now. This what we do on Sunday, we want you to be doing throughout the week. Okay. This really is an experience of forward thinking about later on Monday morning. It starts with just being a greeter, and then it becomes being a pastor and being that person in the office or in the neighborhood that just lights up a room. Just says, "You know what? You are welcome today to come to this place, because I want to care for you." Well, like I said, the first part in that Ephesians chapter 4 says the way to do church is to have these places of office of evangelist and prophet and pastor and teacher, to train the layman to do the ministry, okay, the works of service. That's what we do here. The next passage, the next verse says this, okay? Until you keep doing that, until we reach unity of the faith, there's one, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow, that's a pretty thorough verse there. Look what it says the goals are until we reach unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Now, at Grace, we've been working on unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to become mature for quite some time. But in the last 5 years especially, I want to show you how we've been building up to this year. Okay, in the last 5 years especially, we've been putting our focus on this unity of the faith. We've started applying a thing called Peacemaker. It's a book, and actually an international ministry where we're asking people, if you have something to say about someone, then you need to tell that someone. We're not entertaining, you know, backroom talk. We're trying to help people have conversations that may be difficult, but they're face to face, not behind closed doors, you know, behind someone's back. We're helping people to what did I put here? Helping divisive people find a new way of expressing their discontent. And that's been wonderful here. What happens when, you know, you don't kind of entertain kind of the back-talking, what it does is it allows love to flourish and truth. Love and truth gets to flourish when you pull the weeds of conversations that are not directly to the people that are supposed to be having the conversation. And so we've been working for 5 years. We put our minds to it and had to apply it in some difficult situations. But the tone of church changed because we just, when people say those sorts of things, now we just say, well, have you talked to them about it? No. Well, then you need to talk to them and we don't need to talk about it again until you do. And oh, it's different here. No, it is. Yes, it is. And then the other thing that we've been trying to do here with the unity of faith is that we've, you know, one of our visions, points of our vision statement is to connect through relationships. And again, we have put concerted effort into what that means. And the leadership of our church has been trying to model in every kind of way we can, whether it's in a Sunday school class or a small group Bible study or even in a MOPS program, who's leading that. We've been trying to model what it looks like to have depth in communication, having humility and kind of a vulnerability to the sides of our conversations. We're trying to show, even in the pulpit up here, what honesty looks like, even when it's difficult. And I think that's been gaining some steam as well. And we've restructured and revitalized our small group ministry, but there's a lot of ways you can do small groups, but there's still no depth to it. And so I think we're pushing this depth into those groups. We're expecting that. We're trying to show what it looks like in the context of our elder board and our staff, and then see as it multiplies as it goes out. The speed of the leader, speed of the team sort of thing. And so we want to show what that looks like every chance we can. So that's how we've been emphasizing the unity of the faith, and then the knowledge of the Son of God. It's difficult for me to talk about for a short period of time because I am a Bible nerd and I get drunk on this stuff, and I can just go on and on. So I'll try to abbreviate as much as possible. And for some of you that have been here for a number of years, you know this already. But if you've been here in less than a year, and a lot of you have been here less than a year, you need to know what's going on behind the scenes, especially when it comes to our teaching. Up here on the pulpit, about 8 years ago, a number of us got in a room together and said, well, what if there was a plan for the teaching at Grace from the pulpit? I mean, it wasn't just whatever's coming out, the next book or whatever the next series somebody else is doing. What if we actually had what's called a scope and sequence, a premeditation and a goal? And so we started talking around with each other, and then it turned out we thought, well, you know what? Schools have a plan. They have a goal. They have a scope and sequence. So we brought catalogs in from a number of graduate schools in theology, and we looked at what was common in the what's called a Master of Arts in Biblical Studies. It's a two-year program. It's the essentials that people need to know to be able to do well in their Bible study. Okay, it's a Master of Art in Biblical Studies. And we said, let's do it here. Let's just apply the five major types of subject matter to what we teach here. And then we thought we would just overlap that with the four seasons of the year because we believe that people are seasonal. We think your souls are seasonal. I think God made them that way. And so there are certain things you like in the summer that you wouldn't like so much in the winter. And so we overlapped. We'd had this list of these four or five categories of teaching. And then we did it with the four seasons of the year. And I just want you to know, again, this is leading up to 2012. Here's what we do here at Grace. In the springtime, we usually teach the epistles. These are letters. They're in the end of your Bible. They're dense with doctrine and in some application as well. We've studied, Philippians. We spent 11 weeks in Titus, the book of James. Summertime, we get very practical. That's the hands-on part. A lot of you guys love the summer teaching. That's the life skills or ministry skills. We've learned how to pray, how to worship in the book of Psalms. We did that one summer. How to live life wisely. That was the book of Proverbs. How to know God's will. We studied the life of Peter one time, just how to study the Bible biographically. It's a style of Bible study. And so we do that in the summertime. It's part of the MABS program, Master of Art. And then in the fall, that's about 15 weeks where most people are here all the time. So we study the major epics of the Bible during that time. The creation era, the patriarchs, the United Kingdom period, the divided period kingdom, the book of Acts, the Gospels we've studied multiple times because there's multiple Gospels, the book of Acts, and then end times. Those are usually long and hard and studious because that's your mood in the fall. Looking forward to that in the future. And then in the wintertime, we study theology. We've looked at the doctrine of the fall, the doctrine of the church, doctrine of Jesus the Christ, doctrine of marriage. And coming up, we'll be looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I'm showing that and show you that we have a purpose for what we do here in the pulpit is to tell you that all of that is to apply the second part of that verse where it says the knowledge, a full knowledge of the Son of God, that we might be mature. We're trying to present you with a way of learning about the greatness of God, the hugeness and the holiness, the majesty of God, that you would see that everything pales in comparison, especially your problems, so that you would regularly go to God, that you would understand the humiliation of God to care for us and to cause salvation in our own hearts, that you would appreciate that and see the depth of His love. That's why we do what we do. We want you to see, as in the previous section, that we connect through relationships. We want you to see that lives are transformed by God's grace. I mean, that's what one of the things I love that's happening at our church over these years. We're getting new vocabulary words. Is that people are saying, no, grace transforms. Now let's throw some grace on this guy and see what happens when we forgive him and restore him. Let's see if that has more power than the law ever could. And that's starting to happen more and more. Here's the point. Here's what I want you to see. Is all these years have been building to this year. And I hope you're seeing what the leadership is seeing. That. And I don't know if it was, you know, last summer we did that going vertical. We were talking about intimacy with God, about how to pray better, how to use worship to get connected with Him, how to use music to transform even our minds, not just our hearts. And then we followed that up with All In this last fall. That was our epic. We looked at the book of John. And more of you were just the ones that wrote anyway, were saying, you know what, I'm all in this week. And then the next week, whoa, now I'm really all in. And then another week would happen. And there's a stirring. That point is there's a stirring here at Grace like I haven't seen before. This is disrespectful, but I liken it to Star Wars. And if you're not familiar with Star Wars, you should be. Because you should be. Science fiction is good for you. But, you know, in the first one, you remember when Han Solo, he had that Millennium Falcon. He was the fastest ship in the fleet. And it was. But it was a little used. And so when he and Hans and Chewbacca would get ready to jump to light speed, remember what would happen every single time? They chart their course. They get all the buttons thrown and the switches switched and that sort of thing. And then, what had to happen next? Somebody had to bang on the dashboard, and then there they went. Guys, we are one bang on the dashboard away from light speed around here. I mean, everything is setting itself right. And that's what I want you to feel and hear today. Now what I want to do, I want you to see what's going to happen in 2012, because in 2012, we're going to add some words to our vocabulary, and they will stay with our church for some time. This will be a way to help you get unstuck. It'll be kind of the theme in many respects. And it'll help you help other people, because you'll be able to do diagnostic work using our new vocabulary words, saying, oh, this is how they're stuck, and here's how to get out of it. Let me tell you just about our next 12 months together. I want you to join in the expectation. We'll start a series starting next week called Unstuck. And it's going to be looking at the fact that so many people's Christian lives are in this cyclical pattern where they just get stalled. And one author says 80% of American Christians just die at this wall. Something happens to them. And it's predictive, but they're unaware of why. I mean, it's just like in working out, you can plateau. In business, you can grow bored. In Christianity, too, if you're not doing it right and you don't see what's happening around you. And this series that we'll do, Unstuck, is going to be very important to our church. And I'll show you how we're going to apply it in just a moment. But this is a breakthrough year for us. This is a breakthrough series for your life with God, for your marriage and relationships, and for this church in a lot of ways. One of the primary supplemental book that we'll be using is this one. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And the pastors and the elders have been reading this together for the last 2 months. And we have found two things in common that everyone absolutely believes in. And the first one is we have all enjoyed the book and have been transformed by the insight. And the second thing that we all agree on unanimously is that we hate the title. We really hate the title. And sometimes guys take the covers off it, and this, for us, we have put a sticker over it that says Unstuck. We have renamed the book. The book is on sale out in the courtyard, but it will have a sticker on it that says Unstuck. Because I'm not carrying around a book that says emotionally healthy spirituality, because you might as well paint it pink and put ruffles around it, and then I have to turn in my man card and never get it back. So we're trying to do every emotionally healthy spirituality. Really? Well, come here and cry on my shoulder. Who names a book like that? Not me. Anyway, so here's the thing. While we're studying that, the church, while we're going through that together, we're going to be doing Unstuck, and this will be a supplemental book. We're hoping all of the small groups, all of the life groups, will be going through this book with us. We're going to be pretty insistent upon it. Okay, twice a year, we're going to try for the next several years, twice a year, we're going to want the whole congregation that are in life groups to be going along with the pulpit so that you can apply it in more detail and with more intimacy. Okay? If you have not listened, if you have not been contacted by John Patterson, the pastor of small groups, about this by now, he does not know you exist. Okay, because he's been contacting the life groups for about 6 weeks to a month. So the first application is if you're a life group leader or you're in a life or a life group leader and you've not been told that we're going to do Unstuck, not that other book, I want you to fill out this in your bulletin and say and fill out the information and say, John Patterson, I'm a life group leader. If you're not in a life group, the way to get in is a thing called GroupLink. There'll be a table set up next week. There's a thing in your bulletin that tells you about GroupLink, but that's the means of finding a life group. But listen, this is so important to us because while we're going through Unstuck, that series together, and you guys are using the book for supplemental small groups, we're also right about in the early phases of it, we're going to go through the church, men's fraternity, women's Bible study, all these different outlets. We'll go through a survey together of temperament analysis. Now, this isn't a 200, 300 question thing that just wears you down and makes you mad. This is a fun little thing on a website, and it kind of what it does is it gives you a temperament style, gives you a pathway to success of how to grow in your walk with God. And then here's what's great about the whole Unstuck thing. Because based on your temperament, it gives you a common wall that you're going to run into. A typical obstacle for someone with your background and your personality and your learning style is going to stall right here. Now, if we can apply Unstuck to this personality profile and then find a pathway out in community with one another, there's some neat things that could happen, right? I mean, can you see what could happen if we did this together as a church? As we get bigger and bigger and more people join here, we have to get smaller and smaller, and we have to be reading the same things together. This is an expression of that. Okay, listen, I'm wearing you down. There's more coming. All right, so after we do Unstuck for 6 weeks, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to study the Holy Spirit. Of course we will. That'll be our theology for this year. We're going to see the power of the third person of the Trinity and how he can ignite our life. And then, listen, this is so fun because how does the Holy Spirit work, loud and clear? Well, that's the book of Exodus. But how does the Holy Spirit work in a subtle, quiet way? That's the book of Esther. And we're going to look at how Esther can teach us how God works behind the scenes. And if we can see his pattern of the crimes that he commits while he's working among us, we'll look for that pattern in our own lives. Can't wait to teach through Esther. Then this summer in our application section, right, in our curriculum for our MABS program, we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. What does the fruit look like when it's hanging from the limbs of your soul? That'll be a fun time together as we apply it. And then we're going into the fall, and we'll be looking at the depth of the book of Ephesians because that is so saturated with deep and fulfilling doctrine that can be applied, a very applicable book. And so we'll be looking at that as we go through until this time next year. So that's what we have kind of laid out for 2012. And so the pieces are in order. If our hearts are right and we just bang on the dashboard of the Millennium Falcon, maybe something will happen in our lives. It has all kinds of potential, friends. And I hope you feel what's happening around this church. And again, I'm not one to exaggerate except for humor, and I'm not being funny here. This is the consequence of what happens when people are trained to do ministry, okay, and then they're brought into unity and the full knowledge of Christ the Son and brought into maturity. Look what it says. Now you're no longer infants, and you're not tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and the craftiness of men, and their deceitful scheming. You're not that person. You're not that weather vane that whatever is kind of hip and cool in the Christian community, now you're believing that. Now you're believing this. Now you're believing another thing. Or even the smooth talkers of Madison Avenue. I mean, that's what happens when you understand the Son of God. And when you're brought to maturity. Look what the next sentence says. In contrast to being infants, this is what you get. Instead, speaking truth in love. And will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is the Christ. You'll be able to speak truth in love. And with all things, we'll be able to be grown up in all these things in him, Christ. But there's more. Then we get to play our part, knowing our unique part. Look how each member of the body of Christ, each part of the body, works together for the good. Look, verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Look what it says is the consequence of being trained to do the ministry, of learning the knowledge of the Son of God, of being unified in spirit and becoming mature. Each person, as he continues to grow and builds itself up in love, each ligament, that's your unique abilities and gifts and background and temperament that you're going to learn in this survey. Getting unstuck. Then we all work together as one body of Christ called Grace. And only the miraculous happens at that point. But listen, we're not alone. We're not like the body of Christ. We're an expression of the body of Christ. And so what will happen is as each one does its part, we'll play our part in the hope for the city of Austin, the state of Texas, and the world. We'll play our unique role as Grace, a small little church that's existed for a short period of time, but has the potential of marking eternity. That's what we can have available to us this year. So listen, this is what I want us to do. I want us to have this attitude of seize the day, because this doesn't come along often. And I want you to hear that we could have all sorts of things happen this year, and probably trouble will come. Because this is a war. But I don't want you to miss this. If there's anything I'm pleading about, is don't miss this opportunity. It won't happen, maybe in our lifetime again. When I was a young boy, I think I was in seventh grade, and my brother was in eighth grade, and my mom used to get us out of the house. She'd put us on a bus, we'd ride it downtown 30 minutes, and we would play tennis at the community tennis center for about 6 hours, till dark. And then we'd take the bus home and walk home at night. And we did this every day in the summer. And my brother and I got pretty good at tennis. And then my brother had an opportunity to go to John Newcomb's tennis ranch in New Braunfels. The T-Bar-M was originally a tennis ranch. It still is. Yeah. So he goes there for a week. And during that week, they play tennis no less than 12 hours a day. If they're not sleeping, they're eating. And if they're not eating and sleeping, they are playing tennis. And when Mark came back from that tennis camp, we only played one more game. That was that. He would have nothing to do with me again, and he kind of got pretty snobbish about it. He only played pros because he liked beating them. 1 week made all the difference in the world. Changed his whole life. That was the week I missed. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Do not be anchored by petty thoughts and bitterness and anxiety and an ex-boyfriend or church or something. Start today, because there's too much at stake. And here's what, same as last week, here's how to do this. You be holy. You be right. You make it well within your soul. My Acura just turned 93,000 miles and had that, you know, 100,000 mile deal done. So all the timing belts and all the belts and the gaskets and rubber hoses, everything was redone, oil, fluids, everything. My little baby. And because of that, I gave her a bath. I mean, I washed her top to bottom yesterday. And when Melinda was going to go out for groceries yesterday, I said, hey, take my car. She's, oh gosh, she's clean. And she runs better than she ever has. I don't know about that, but it sure felt like it, like a new pair of tennis shoes, right? And so when she comes back from the grocery store, I said, hey, what'd you think of my car, huh? That was clean, wasn't it? One of the kids came home and said, hey, did you wax your car, Dad? I don't wax cars. I said, no, but it looks like it. I love using my car because it's all better. God's that way. See the point? God's that way. He likes using tuned-up souls, ones that are clean. It's the way he is. And so just shed the stuff. Whatever your distractions are or your addictions, your silly video games that are keeping your marriage from being right on track, whatever that is, could you put the remote down for this year? That could be the year. It'd be worth it. You'll regret missing this. Second one, be praying, because praying opens our mind to the will of God. And I'll tell you this. It is the prescriptive will of God that you would be unified in spirit. And if, as you pray about that, those things will come into your mind and they could change your heart and your will. So you have to be praying through these things, these ambitious things that we're looking at. And then last, be willing. You still have to do it. You have to do it. You have to have the courage to do those things. This is the year that things are going to change around Grace Covenant Church. This is a breakthrough year. We'll have new vocabulary words. We'll have new ways of diagnosing our souls. And I don't want anyone to miss this. Look at the logo. All things new. A new you. A new grace. A new year. That's that. We are not going to settle for anything else than that this year. Okay? So that's what we have in store at Grace Covenant Church. We want God's Spirit to run wild. Can you imagine what would happen if we got unstuck and then started focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit, and then saw the way God's Spirit works in Esther's life? He works the same way in our life if we allow him. If fruit of the Spirit started falling from our soul like it does of a ripe tree in the springtime, and then we go into Ephesians with a mind on fire. I don't want you coming in here and sitting in the back of your seat this year thinking, okay, I've got my sharp pencil out to take notes. I want you coming here on the edge of your seat and expecting nothing less than miraculous things taking place on a regular basis. Let's see what happens when the Spirit of God gets kind of scary on this campus, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we're tired of predictable and the containable, the managed Christian life. And Lord, we're asking that maybe all these things that have been lining up for lo these many years has just prepared us for this year. That this would be a year where our church gets unstuck because every soul gets that way. Lord, help us to understand ourselves, our past, our temperament, that we might turn that over to you, that you would unleash us on the world. That we wouldn't settle for anything but great stories in our lives, in the lives of the people around us. Lord, would you help us drop bitterness and anger and the pride that keeps us from ever even hearing you? The silly commitment to control when it's all an illusion in so many ways. Let us be children again as we open up your word. And let us be just exuberant with joy when we see you work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about Grace, visit our website at grace360.org.